Makeshift Stories presents Somewhere, Sometime, an irregular series of short sci-fi and fantasy stories.
A house guest, particularly an unexpected one, can wear out their welcome very quickly. They come in and set up camp in the sanctity of our personal space and disrupt our lives by displacing us in our own home to meet their idiosyncratic needs. The greater the differences in habit and culture, the more challenging it becomes for the hapless host. One day, Ryan arrives home to find Megan complaining about a very unusual house guest that he has inadvertently invited into their lives. When the guest appears to be settling in for a very long time, Megan and Ryan become desperate to find a way to encourage the disruptive creature to leave. We invite you now to sit back and relax as you listen to Makeshift Stories 102, The House Guest. Somewhere in some time, you might find you have invited someone in who refuses to leave.
The odor assaulted Ryan's nose as soon as he opened the front door. It was a sickly sweet smell, like a jar of honey mixed with rancid fish oil.
"What's that smell?"
Ryan complained.
"Our new unexpected house guest. What else would it be?"
Megan yelled back in an irritated tone as she finished setting up a fan to air out the house.
"The one that you invited."
"I haven't invited anyone."
"Well, you might not have intended to, but apparently you did. Remember what you told me yesterday? Something about the online group you've gotten involved with finally making contact at the last meetup you guys had in that crop circle. Remember, Ryan? The time where the farmer nearly sued your group for trampling down his wheat? Well, I knew that multidimensional mumbo-jumbo you've been spewing lately would come to no good. And it finally did, because now we have a house guest."
"One of the members of the group? How? I've never told anyone where we live."
Ryan insisted anxiously.
"I don't think it's a member of your stupid group. However, it knows our address and the PIN numbers of all our bank cards. It ordered beer and pizza with them, and it's currently smelling up the basement. That's where I put it, to keep the stink down. It claims to be an Altarian, whatever that is. I thought you said that the name of your group is the Aquarius Foundation. Well, that one certainly smells like a fish out of water."
"Aquarius is a zodiac sign, Megan. It just sounded cool. That's why we picked it as our name,"
Ryan explained, and started angrily down the stairs.
"It has nothing to do with water or fish. Although, that person downstairs smells a bit like a four-day-old mackerel. And what's with the flower bed? It's all covered in fluff?
The Altarian ate the neighbor's dog for a snack. Ryan, you really need to get rid of him or whatever it is,"
Megan demanded, pushing Ryan down the stairs in front of her.
"I don't understand. I really don't. We were trying to contact the Arcturians,"
Ryan mumbled, taking the stairs two at a time.
"Arcturians are fifth-dimensional ethereal beings of superior intellectual capacity, whom you can only contact through telepathy. That's what we were doing in the crop circle. We were trying to connect through the residual energy left there. What's an Arcturian doing here? They're non-corporeal beings."
"Your nose can tell you that this one is quite physical, and it claims you, Ryan, invited it,"
Megan angrily pointed out. As Ryan reached the bottom stair, he heard a loud belch.
"Hey man, I'm an Altarian, not an Arcturian. We Altarians would never be caught dead on the same dimensional level with one of those vaporious snake oil salesmen. The whole bunch couldn't even move a leaf on a windy day. But you third dimensionals get us mixed up all the time. It's just a semantic slip, a slight frequency error, and presto, you get an Altarian rather than an Arcturian. The Arcturians are so boringly ethereal anyway. You can't go for beer with an Arcturian or hang out at a hockey game. So thanks for the invite, bro. By the way, that hot dog I found peeing on your shrubs didn't go down so well."
"Hot dog?"
Ryan questioned.
"Yeah, you were thinking about a hot dog when you summoned me."
"That was the name of the neighbor's pet, not a wiener on a bun."
"Altarian, Arcturian, hot dog, a tasty treat, or the neighbor's pet. Just semantic differences which get so mixed up in your limited mind, bro. So you can't blame me for being confused. And the hot dog wasn't too bad."
Ryan stared at the couch. Lying on its back was a gray-green creature with an oversized skull, large brown almond eyes, three fingers, etc., is the archetypal alien, like the ones that Ryan had seen on the Roswell websites, with one exception. This one was 6 feet tall and very plump. The thing's flesh seemed to stretch against the silver jumpsuit it had somehow squeezed into, emphasizing the effect. A can of beer floated down the stairs, past Ryan, and slid into the being's waiting three-fingered hand.
"Telepathy to boot,"
Ryan said to no one in particular, then recovering his composure, demanded, "Who are you, and what are you doing here?" The alien took a swig of beer, then belched again.
"It's Gluck Grun, but Gruck to you, bud. I'm your celestial guide, man. Can't you feel my vibe? I connected with you on your personal frequency, in the cornfield. You asked me to come, remember?"
Ryan thought for a moment.
But you're a fifth dimensional being. You're not supposed to be so... so...
physical?
Grun suggested, then shrugged, spilling a bit of beer on the carpet.
"I mean, that invitation was meant for a, telepathic visit,"
Ryan noted.
"Oh yeah, that thing. Us Altarians are fourth dimensional, not fifth dimensional. Isn't there a pop group with that name? The Fifth Dimensions. R&B, soul, ring a bell. But I digress. We're fourth, or maybe a bit lower. 3.5 to be more accurate. Hey, I don't really know. But best of all, we can drop down into three, baby. We can get real physical. And what's better than actually being here?"
"Not being here,"
Megan shouted from the top of the stairs.
"Hey, that hurts, lady. Well, I'm here, I'm here. Let the bells ring out and the banners fly. Heard that in an old cartoon," the alien chuckled.
"Looney Tunes? That's from the 1940s.
Ryan pointed out.
"Takes a while for TV to get back to Altair. It's not exactly next door. So what the heck? I got some time off and wanted to take a holiday from the Galactic Collective. I really needed one. Politics, stress, you know, that sort of thing."
Gluck patted his oversized midriff.
"Yeah, stress makes me put on weight. My health specialist told me to take some time off, you know, take it easy for a bit. Anyway, when I decided to step down to this frequency, I stumbled on your invitation. And thanks. It was a perfect open portal to this lower world, to take in the sights and yummy delights, like hot dogs. Although none of you ever mentioned that they are so hard to catch. Why is that? I thought you lower world types were well beyond hunter-gatherers. Oh yeah, baby. I'm really here and I'm feeling great. How about we order more pizza and beer and watch the game on TV, bro?"
Feeling overwhelmed, Ryan leaned on the wall at the bottom of the stairs, took a moment to compose himself, then began to interrogate the alien.
"I'm confused. I thought you higher dimensional beings were supposed to be the gateway to the non-physical, healers, models of the way the Earth's future could be."
"Oh, those guys. Those are the Arcturians. Obviously you're not picking up what I'm laying down. I'm an Altarian, and we're way more cool to hang out with, bro. Those Arcturian dudes are no fun at all. Let me tell you, I've sat in way too many Galactic Council meetings listening to them prattle on. They're way too serious, man. All focused on harmonizing the frequencies, not fun at all, real bores. So you're lucky I'm the one who tuned you in. And like my doc says, I need to get away from all that sort of thing. It's a win-win. Could be a couple weeks, maybe a few months, then I'll be as good as new. Oh, and you will be too, my newest pal."
"Months?"
Megan screamed in protest.
"Ryan, we've got people coming to dinner on the 15th. You've got to get rid of that thing before then."
"I'm not a thing, lady. I'm an Altarian and I have a name. And for you, it's Sir Gluck Grun, Director General. Hey, Ryan, bro, let's go for a walk. I need some air. This place is really starting to reek of narrow-minded human."
To Ryan's horror, Gluck stepped out into 8 lanes of rush hour traffic. Before he seemed to notice where he was walking, an SUV grazed his protruding stomach, leaving a streak of its tasteful blue paint across the alien's jumpsuit. Gluck looked down, then calmly waved his hand, and all the traffic screeched to a halt, the smell of burnt rubber and angry horns saturating the air. Several drivers jumped out of their cars, hurling abusive comments at the strange creature. Others popped out their cell phones and began to take pictures. Gluck ignored all of them.
Hey, what are you waiting for, bro? Come on. These primitive organic guided machines kindly stop for us to cross. We shouldn't keep them here too long. They look really impatient. Like they want to...
run over us?
Ryan noted anxiously, stepping off the curb, pushing his face into his jacket collar so no one could recognize him. Gluck stepped slowly across the asphalt, mock saluting the angry drivers. When they had finally reached the far side, Gluck waved his hand again and the traffic continued its mad stampede. One driver threw a well-aimed half-eaten apple at them. At the last second, the fruit projectile simply swerved around them, causing its former owner to follow the fruit with a pepper spray of curses. Gluck just shrugged.
How'd you do that?
Ryan quizzed as he hurried Gluck away from the freeway.
Mind over matter, baby. Comes with the territory. Being a member of a higher dimension and all that jazz. It's like us hires are from the planet Krypton or something. And down here we got superpowers.
You mean Krypton?
Ryan corrected.
Yeah, like you said. All us higher dimensionals are super beings when we descend. Think I'll need a red cape and a blue tight outfit so people will know? Let's find one. I need a change of clothes anyway.
Desperate to get Luke away from the major streets, Ryan suggested they head to a dollar store in a back street to find the appropriate costume. After a few blocks of gawking and disgusted pedestrians, they turned into a lane. Gluck stopped and turned to face Ryan.
Hey man, I know that everything is not going right for you. That's why you were looking for a higher dimensional. To give you guidance. You think the company you're working for is going to go under. You think the whole sector is well past its best before date. You trained for years to get where you are, and you're wondering what you should do.
How do you...
No, we're intimately connected, bro. We're on the same vibe. We're like tuning forks with the same tone. I know everything you're feeling, and it's pretty grim. Hey, I know you wanted an Arcturian. That definitely doesn't put me off. And do you know why? Let me tell you. If you had connected with one of them, the only thing they would have done for you is to get you to focus on picturing a better place to be. They would have dressed it up in some fancy language, like you're transcending the negative vibe, but they wouldn't have helped you face the facts, like you're going to lose that high-paying job. On the other hand, I can help you move on, strategize, make a plan, do something real. More pretty picture in your mind.
I just...
wanted some guidance, Gluck added, and I'm bursting at the seams with the stuff. I'm your Uber guide. I can help. I know you're a geoscientist and that your planet is soon going to be awash in hydrocarbons. No one will be looking for more of the stuff. So where does that leave you?
Ryan's face turned red.
That's one of only several projected possibilities. I mean about the oversupply thing. No one's supposed to know about that. How do you...
Well, I can see the future, bro. Just another little higher dimensional trick. Up there... time is all kind of stacked up, like all the moments exist at once. Not like that boring time thing here, where it flows like a river. Man, how can you people live only knowing about the present, regretting the past, and being full of anxiety about the future?
I'm not afraid of the future,
Ryan insisted, and started to walk away.
The store's down this street. Come on.
Gluck followed enthusiastically.
Look at the freak in the costume,
someone yelled. A few people walking towards Gluck and Ryan crossed the street to avoid them. Others snapped pictures with their phones.
I hope that is a costume. Can you imagine really looking like that?
Someone commented as they walked past.
Nice planet you got here, Ryan.
Gluck took a deep breath, then coughed.
Love the air. It tastes so... so full of chemicals. Great place to visit, as long as you have a return ticket to somewhere else.
Ryan's hopes rose.
Hey, I totally agree. So when are you leaving?
Not so fast, buddy. Only when I get so relaxed that I'm bored. Or once I've finished what you brought me here to do.
And what's that?
Give you guidance, man. Help you make the right choices to navigate the coming troubled waters.
Ryan stopped and turned to face Gluck.
You really mean that?
Gluck gave Ryan a feral smile, then turned and resumed waddling up the street, laughing.
I love you people. So gullible. Man, this is a fun place.
What do you mean? Doesn't this dimension disgust you, Gluck? Don't you want to leave?
To Ryan's relief, the dollar store was empty when they arrived. The clerk looked up, then nervously hid her head behind the flat screen at the checkout.
Where are the costumes? Ryan asked politely.
Without looking up, the clerk, a middle-aged woman with salt and pepper hair, pointed to the far back corner of the store. Ryan led Gluck to a wall of costumes, sized up the alien, then moved to the extra, extra large section.
I'm here to help you, Ryan, really, Gluck sort of apologized. And I have to stay here until you truly need me to go. That's just the way these arrangements work. Sure, on the surface, you might think you want me to leave, but deep down, that's where it's got to come from. And right now, your inner self is screaming for my help. That's why I'm here. The holiday thing is a bonus. Of course, I'll take a bit of time on either side of the job. I'm sure you 3D types do the same thing. Other than that, it's up to you, man.
Gluck picked the largest Superman costume in the store, then barely managed to squeeze into it. His generous stomach flowed over the yellow belt and stretched the S in the diamond symbol until it was almost unrecognizable.
Perfect fit, he proclaimed. Tight, like the comic books. Makes me feel kind of powerful. No need for a bag. I'll wear it back.
Ryan winced in disgust.
You might want to rethink that. And by the way, how are you going to pay for it? Hmm?
Gluck smiled, then levitated over to the cashier, who didn't give the alien a second look. Materialized Ryan's bank card out of thin air, swiped it through the cash machine, grinned at Ryan, then pushed the shop door open.
After you, my man.
Hey, how do you get my bank card?
Ryan demanded.
Superpowers, baby, remember?
Then Gluck walked out into the street, where he was greeted by several car horns. The cashier looked up from her flat screen.
That alien costume your friend's wearing is really awesome. I'd like to know where he got it. I want to get that line in here. Alien in a superhero costume. It'll catch on. You know you've got to be on top of the trends to survive in this business.
Ryan glared at the woman.
It's Altair, and I think the look comes with the territory. Altair?
The clerk repeated, then began to type.
That's a star,
she groused after reading the search results. But by then Ryan had left, the bells on the door jingling behind him. The clerk complained to the now empty store.
I just wanted a bit of help.
Over the next week, Ryan tried several tactics to dislodge the problematic alien from the basement rec room. He canceled all his bank cards, cut off the internet and cable, and even stopped buying beer, all to no avail. The crafty creature simply went next door and ordered beer using Anna's bank card. Their divorced neighbor appeared to have taken a liking to Gluck, making Ryan suspect that mind control might be another tool in a 3.5-dimensional being's bag of tricks. Finally, in an act of desperation, Megan changed the dinner party to an outdoor costume barbecue.
At least he won't stick out. And outside with the barbecue going, people might mistake his smell as some type of new fish sauce,
Megan theorized. After that, Megan refused to talk to Ryan and cut off Gluck's supply of corn chips and salsa, which of course Anna next door gladly sourced to the big doting alien.
He's playing you, Anna,
Megan complained when the neighbor arrived with the daily delivery of beer and Doritos.
You don't get him, do you, Megan? It's not every day you meet a guy like Gluck. He's really quite special. Especially smelly. And if you get along so well, why doesn't he stay at your place?
Megan shot back.
Because unfortunately, I'm not the person who invited him here, Megan. But if I had, I would treat him with the respect he deserves. By the way, what's the name of Ryan's group again? I think I'd like to join.
Thanks, baby.
Megan jumped as Gluck came up behind her and reached out for the care package.
Got to get ready for the dinner party tonight. See you after that, Anna.
Feeling nauseated, Megan slammed the door and turned to face Gluck.
I want you out of here now,
she screamed.
No can do, baby. Like I keep telling you, I can't return until my
idiot husband doesn't need any more help,
Megan groaned.
Can you at least go over to Anna's and stay there until we get things organized?
Good idea. I'll let Anna know that you invited us to your party. You know Anna was feeling a bit left out.
That's not what I meant, Gluck. And please wear something else. You look disgusting in those shorts.
I was driving my new SUV on Route 60 last week when all the cars suddenly stalled. Traffic backed up for miles. Took more than 45 minutes to clear. Norbrook complained to a stormtrooper. The handsome 40-something man was dressed in a pirate outfit. Norbert was the CEO of a company Ryan was courting, and the main reason for the dinner. I mean, how can that happen to all those vehicles at once? Especially mine. It's new, only 200 miles on it, and I paid over $100,000 for the thing. I was ready to demand my money back. Made me late for a critical meeting. But all the other cars stalled too, making me suspect it was some weird electromagnetic pulse. But what would cause something like that? A month before, Megan had met Norbert at a fundraiser. She and Ryan had decided to invite him over so Ryan could casually hit the man up for a job. Ryan's current company was notorious for underpaying their staff.
Did you see the video someone posted online of a crazy guy in an alien costume? Just walked out into traffic and held up his hands. It might have been Route 60. He was lucky all the traffic stopped. Oddly, all at the same time. That's what makes the video so creepy. No one knows how he did it. The dumb clown could have been killed. Just search for alien stops traffic.
Adam, another guest dressed in a Batman costume, pointed out, while guzzling a glass of expensive wine that Ryan and Megan couldn't really afford. Norbert pulled out his smartphone and began to type. Ryan, who was bringing out another bottle of the pricey red wine, cringed when he overheard the comment about the video. He hoped he was trailing far enough behind Gluck so he wouldn't be in the frame.
Yeah, that's Route 60, all right. Looks like that guy in the ugly alien costume started the traffic jam. I'd like to give him a piece of my...
Before Norbert could finish his sentence, everyone at the party fell silent, their minds suddenly filled with the gross images and the phantom smell of rotting garbage. Everyone groaned and a few became nauseous.
Hey man, sorry for the telepathic fart. Too much junk video on my diet recently, Gluck admitted. I tried to hold it as long as I could, really. But eventually, the indigestible stuff has to come out.
Gluck, sausage into his Superman costume with Anna on his arm, announced loudly,
"On the upside, we brought beer!"
A large cooler floated beside him.
Hot diggity dog! This is great! I've never been to a real barbecue before! What have you got on the grill, Ryan, my man, my lifelong buddy? Hope it's another yummy pet thing like the furry hot dog I ate at your place the other day.
Norbert, in mid-bite, spit out a mouthful of half-chewed steak.
Mr. Grun is our house guest,
Ryan sheepishly admitted, now desperately improvising.
But you'll have to excuse his offbeat sense of humor. He's here, in his alien persona, to scout our city for a major comic expo. You know, Comic-Con, Dragon-Con, that sort of thing. They're all the rage these days.
Blank expressions met Ryan's pleading gaze.
Cons have become an economic impact on cities where they are held. Thousands of visitors with money to burn. Mr. Grun is hot in the cosplay communities these days. Won best alien superhero hybrid costume last year. And he's got the ear of the whole Comic-Con sector. His endorsement could be worth millions to this community.
Ryan could see a few heads begin to nod with understanding. He knew the money angle always played well with this crowd. Let them think Luck's here to get a heads up on the new investment opportunity, he rationalized. However, Norbert was glaring at him, anger barely concealed. Gluck plowed into the party, leaving a wake of confused guests behind him. Instinctively, the alien gravitated to the gas barbecue where Norbert was standing. Ryan shrunk back from his bold lie, already knowing the alien wasn't going to cooperate. Like a heat-seeking missile, it headed for the epicenter of his future professional life. Three-fingered hand extended.
It's your pleasure to meet me, the alien smirked.
Caught off guard, Norbert began to shrink back from the six-foot-tall being before appearing to change his mind. Ryan noticed every muscle in the man's body tense up.
You,
Norbert spat, pointing a long index finger at Gluck.
It was you. You're the one, aren't you? The one in the video.
Gluck withdrew his hand and shrugged.
I heard it's gone viral in some circles. Probably not yours. I don't believe Luddites use the internet. But it's not every day you get the honor of meeting a fabulous higher-dimensional being such as myself. Or a self-obsessed idiot in a costume who hasn't bathed in a couple of weeks. You stink, buddy.
Norbert added,
barely able to control himself. Suddenly, the man's hands shot out and grabbed both sides of the alien's head, below the bulging cranium. Then Norbert pulled up as hard as he could.
I've had enough. I want to see who the bonehead in there is.
Gluck began to cough and turn blue. His body started to vibrate until it became a gray-green blur. Then, with one violent last shake, he formed himself into a fire-breathing lizard. Norbert immediately let go and backed up into the barbecue, almost knocking it over, shaking with fear and astonishment.
You wanted to know, right?
The hairy dragon roared.
Just joking.
The Gluck lizard thing shook again and turned back into the plump gray alien.
Not bad, huh? I saw that trick on Star Trek, the original series, episodes 11 and 12, The Menagerie. Captain Pike, the guy from the pilot, tries to strangle a big-headed alien. The alien messes with Pike's mind and makes him think he's strangling a hairy monster. And what's this thing you people have about making monsters hairy, toothy, and dumb? Let me point out that hair follicle counts or dental history has nothing to do with how advanced our culture is. In fact, we made contact with the whole Bigfoot scene on this backwater dimension decades ago. Those dudes who have the whole invisibility tech thing down pat, they're light years ahead of you. Even have their own fifth dimensional consulate. I'm not the alien from season 2, even though I vaguely resemble that handsome guy. I'm a heck of a lot smarter and much better looking. And if I had captured Pike, he wouldn't have gotten away. But I digress. Hey, I always wanted to try that trick. Thanks for the opportunity, man. It was awesome. You should have seen the look in your eyes. It was priceless. Although you don't know it yet, mister, I've had enough too. You're a self-absorbed dinosaur heading for extinction.
Norbert balled his hand into a fist and stepped menacingly towards the alien.
Whoa, baby.
Gluck backed up a step.
I'm just warning you before you people have to deal with the crustaceans who are going to inherit your world. They are more than a bit upset about the way your current management has been looking after this planet. I wouldn't want to be in your shoes. Man, they are angry. Think 1950s B-movie featuring huge rampaging lobsters. Stop babbling nonsense, bonehead.
Norbert began to yell, spittle spraying Gluck.
You cost us the engineering contract on a new drilling project. Because of the traffic jam you caused, I was 30 minutes late for a meeting to pitch our services to the owner's group. What were you thinking? Were you just power tripping or something? Hey, chill, buddy. I'm just here to help that guy.
The alien pointed at Ryan.
He invited me. Without him, I couldn't have come here. Great. I'll make sure that you and your pal don't get in my way again. Big deal, Mr. Bossy Guy. I'm only visiting. But he's not.
Norbert pointed a finger at Ryan.
I know your boss,
he yelled and stormed out of the yard. With the party atmosphere spoiled, the guests began to leave quickly. Gluck turned to Ryan, almost pleading with his big dark eyes.
Hey bro, I'm not the self-centered clown that guy thinks I am. From where I come from, I'm considered a rather intuitive counselor.
You probably just got me fired, and no one in the industry will hire me again,
Ryan accused. Gluck grinned.
And it was fun doing it, too.
Ryan's face reddened.
Enough! Get out!
He yelled.
Hey, man, don't be so acid. I did you a favor. That whole economic sector is going to collapse. You would have eventually lost your job anyway. I've just given you a head start on retraining. You'll be way ahead of the pack. I'll help you pick a new career. I know where the action is going to be.
Really?
Ryan's tone softened slightly.
Remember what I told you about how time works in higher dimensions? From up there, the future's already happened.
Gluck looked serious for a moment, then laughed so hard it made his stomach shake under the skin-tight Superman costume.
Had you going there for a moment, didn't I?
There was a blinding flash of light, and the alien was gone.
Thanks for listening to Makeshift Stories 102, The House Guest. We hope that you've enjoyed this month's episode. As always, if you like what we're doing, please tell your friends about us, or write a review on iTunes, or Stitcher Radio, or check us out on Facebook. We love hearing your comments, so send us an email to makeshiftstories@gmail.com or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. And thanks to those from all over the planet who have already emailed us. To listen to Makeshift Stories on your iOS or Android device, please download Stitcher Radio from iTunes or the Google Play Store. This month's episode was written by Alan V. Hare and read by Mitchell Too. The opening and closing themes were composed and recorded by David H. Makeshift Stories is released under a Creative Commons non-commercial, no derivative license, which means that you're free to share our stories. Just remember to credit us and don't alter anything.